Good news is you're going to get to go eat lunch and do all of this there as well. Love that you're here. We love kids, families, generational connections, the opportunity for God to do things in an intentional way. God honors intentionality. There's a scripture that says the word of God is quick and powerful. It says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Then it goes on to say it's a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. I have used that to my advantage for years and years and years. Maybe it will help you today as an individual. Maybe it will help you today as a parent. In those moments when I am just flat a knucklehead, just in my own way, I look to the Lord and I say, but you know my intent. You know the thought and intent of my heart. In my living room, it's been in my living room. Currently it's in a dining room. If you were to walk into our dining room across the side wall, all that's on the wall, four sentences, two words each, eight words on the wall. First one in big block letters, it says, live intentionally. Love unconditionally. Learn unconventionally. Laugh uncontrollably. That's the mission statement for our family. When we sit and eat dinner together, we look up and we see it every time we sit there. It's intentional to help us be intentional. And the very first thing on the list is live intentionally. And that's what's happening today. With the six families that we're honoring and celebrating today, you're doing that living intentionally. Thank you for that. I'm proud of you. I'm excited for what this means. Not as a first step. This stuff is almost like baptism, right? Things happen at baptism, but baptism isn't the start. Baptism is the result of something that's already been going on. And a day like today, when families bring babies and children to be dedicated to the Lord, and it's a dedication of parents, it's a dedication of our community of faith, all of that together, today's not the start. That's already been happening. Today is this celebration and a synergy of all of us coming together. I'd like to take a moment and introduce some of these families to you. So let's look up here. Lincoln Dunham. You guys can stand if you would with sweet babies. Nicole and Dylan, right? How handsome. What a beautiful family. Thank you. And Lila, Lindsay and Shane. Stand up, she's right there. Let's see the sweet baby. Lila Donnell. Oh my gosh. I told you last week, there's seven babies, six boys, one girl, and our like three-year-old class is all dudes too. So look out, Lila. Here we go. She'll have her pick, won't she? Yeah. Awesome. And Micah and Eric and Ashley Brown. Awesome. There's the man. Beautiful picture. Thank you for that. Now pay attention because we're going to be praying for these folks later. You need to know where you want to go, how you're being led. And Luke, where's Luke? There's Luke in the back. Look at that. Big man. Dan and Kelsey. Dan's one of our elders here. Has been that for 6 years. Appreciate them. And there's Liam. Where's Liam? Over here. There he is in the back. Awesome. And Braylee and Jacob. Love it. That smushy kiss the face picture was just my fave. That was awesome. I loved it. And then, where are the boys? Eli and Easton. Okay. Awesome. Jamie and Brooke. There they are. Wonderful. Wonderful. We love our kids and we're grateful for you to be here today. I was thinking about this morning, actually early. This just came to me. I said, you know, we don't really know much about Jesus' childhood. We don't really know much about it. We get a picture of the two-year-old. We get a picture of the toddler. Now, I understand the creche and all that business, like baby in the little manger, right, and wise men, and they just compiled everything. Like, everybody in the entire story showed up for that, right? They just did a time lapse, and everybody got there. When the wise men showed, Jesus was probably more like a toddler. When you cross-reference Scripture, it appears that he might have been pushing 2.5 years old, couple years old, right? Maybe even a hair older than that, right? So you've got this toddler. And I was thinking about this the other day. I was out in the foyer with Dan and Luke, and Luke was sitting there, and Dan picked him up, and all of a sudden Luke just went smack, just right in the side of the head, right? This, and what I thought is, oh, that's definitely what the wise men got. That is definitely what, I mean, Jesus wasn't like just purse right there. They picked him up, and he probably knocked down the gold and spilled the frankincense and smacked the crown off, you know. That's the toddler. We get that picture of Jesus, the toddler. Then we see him again. He's 12. He's 12 years old. He's confounding the religion scholars. Let's think about that a sec. Toddler boy to sixth grader, confounding the religion scholars. Now, how did Jesus get from A to B? Not a word spoken about it. Not a word. What I would say is it wasn't A to B. It wasn't A to B. It was more like A to W. Going from 2 to 12 is not A to B. In that critical 10 years, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W. There's a lot that happens in those years. I've said it before, some of you may be familiar. It's arguable to a degree, but not a tremendous degree, that by the age of 9, your psyche is set. By the age of 9, your rule book is written. It might be 7, it might be 8, but it's not 14. And by the age of 8 or 9 years old, so Jesus, in that window between 2 and 12, that 10-year window, for him, for each of us, our rule book gets written. What we think of men, what we think of women, what we think of God, what we think of love, what we think of Republicans, what we think of the police, what we think of political systems, what we think money is, what the Bible means, all kinds of things set by age 9. It's critical. Now, Jesus, right? This is what we're celebrating, Advent. He's got a heavenly Father, birthed by the Holy Spirit, not a bad start, right? I mean, you know, if you got to kick off with something, having the Holy Spirit as your dad is not a bad kicker. Still, the heavenly Father understood that he needed a father and a mother, and it wasn't just vessels of creation. God Almighty, that Heavenly Father, made it a pertinent and important point to make sure that Jesus has a dad and a mama. We don't know how long Jesus' dad was around. He wasn't at the cross. But in those early years, those early formative years, when they left him at the temple, right? DCS was called. No, I'm kidding. They left him at the temple. Joseph is around. Joseph and Mary are walking that journey as a mother and father. I was so cognizant of that with my own kids. At birthdays, I would count them down. I'm like, okay, 8's the trigger. Eight was my number. So when Emma turned 4, I'm like, all right, halfway there. Got that rule book written. Halfway done. 6 years old. 75% of the way there, at 8, we're like, okay, we're done. It's written, but that's critical. We know we're not done. But it's critical to be aware of all the value that's happening right now. I want to take us to Colossians chapter 1. I've been preaching out of that for a week or so. I'm going to continue even next Sunday. It'll be on the screens behind us. Colossians 1, verse 9. I'm going to read down through 14. And then I'm going to focus a little bit just on verses 10 through 12. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, Paul's saying this, he said, we haven't stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's what we talked about last week, right? Knowledge and wisdom and understanding coming from the Spirit. And we pray this in order that you, now here we go, verse 10, you may live a life worthy of the Lord, may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance, patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. So verse 10 here is a setup. Verse 10, it says, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and that you may please Him in every way, colon. You may please Him in every way, colon. Colon sets us up to recognize there is a list of things coming. Whatever I just set up, I'm about to tell you how it happens. I can please the Lord in every way, colon, and here's what we're going to do. So that's for just a few minutes. That's what I'd like to focus on. I'd like to give you encouragement, possibly even inspiration, as parents and church family around this. It says bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit. What is that fruit? It's not apples. It's not oranges. It's not lemons. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's gentleness. It's goodness. It's meekness, kindness, temperance, self-control, faithfulness. Many of you may be aware of that list. You may be familiar with that list. Fruit of the Spirit. And how does that happen? Verse 9, remember last Sunday? The Spirit helps us. It's a wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. It's not the fruit of Micah. It's not the fruit of Lila. It's not the fruit of Liam. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit the Spirit gives us. Maybe I should wait until these little guys and gal get bigger. If you know anything about the dynamics of the Spirit, if you know anything about the dynamics of the kingdom of God, the Scripture tells us that we are to be like them. They're not to be like us. Let's wait until they grow up and get like us. That's not the plan. The plan is that the innocence and the openness and the willingness and the receptivity of it all. I remember in my own children's lives, all the things they didn't know and all the people they accepted as is and all the moments that they walked into readily until first grade. And once they got in first grade, clicks started happening. Pairing off started happening. Awareness of things that weren't even on their radar prior to that began to come up in conversation. Because prior to that, it was like, hey, how are you? My name's Emma. You want to play? She wasn't checking their socioeconomics. She wasn't checking their pedigree. She didn't check how old they were, what grade they were. She's like, hey, hi, you're breathing, I'm breathing. You want to swing? They don't need to be like us. They need to be like them. That innocence, that openness to the Spirit. Fruit comes from an abiding presence of God. My roots are Pentecostal. I would self-identify as a Pentecostal. In Pentecostal culture, religious culture, gifts of the Spirit are a big deal. Miracles and signs and tongues, all these different like dynamic big deals, right? Big deal. That just shows that God gave you something. It's a gift. Here you go. Did you know that I can have terrible character and that gift can still work? Did you know that I can be totally off the reservation? I can be neck deep in adultery, and that gift can still work because it's a gift. Gifts are without repentance, the Scripture tells us. It's a gift. It can operate. Don't ever judge my walk with God on the gift. Judge it on the fruit. The gift of the Spirit is a gift. The fruit of the Spirit shows that there is an abiding presence of God. There is an ongoing relationship. And frankly, in my rearing, that wasn't highlighted as much as it probably should have been. So the ongoing relationship with the Spirit, that's what brings fruit. It's daily disciplines. It's weekly routines. It's habits. It's not too glamorous. But there is a cumulative power that can change our life from a daily devotion, a daily moment of pause. Now, how long should that pause be? That's where we get hooked up. That's where we get messed up. That's where our car skids off the road. I prayed 17 minutes today. 43 minutes more, and I would have had God's favor. Because that would have been an hour. Let that one go. I was talking to someone recently. We were having dinner. Talked for an hour and a half at dinner. We went out in the parking lot. He said, man, I just want to have a personal walk with God. I just want that. I don't have it. I want it. I said, man, we just spent an hour and a half talking about Jesus. And you were talking as much as I was talking. And I said, do you think about him every day? He said, I do. Are you open to listen? Just like your cell phone. If he calls, you're listening? Yes, I am. Would you talk to him? Sure. I said, then pal, let me hit you with the news flash. It's a relationship. There's something happening there. And it says fruit in every good work. Fruit in every good work. I often say the Old Testament is written for us, but it's not written to us. Because the sacrifice is the Old Testament. Jesus shows up and he looks at the temple and he's like, old news, all done, no more, old news. The sacrifice culture is gone. There's a new way. It's me. And his sacrifice, the writer of Hebrews tells us, his sacrifice once for all. It goes on, the language is awesome. At the culmination of the ages. What a powerful phrase that is. Once and for all. So it's good to know that all the sacrifices are over, except they're not. The last chapter of the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 16, tells us one remains. Don't forget to do good. Don't forget to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is still pleased. Not a salvation sacrifice, but a discipleship sacrifice. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask parents to commit to parenting well in a godly way. I'm going to ask every person that will join in this congregation and our family and our friends to speak words that you'll see on the screen, words of commitment, giving, continuing to give, to share, to do good among ourselves. So it's fruit, and it's fruit in every good work. You read on and it says you're growing in the knowledge of God. What does that even mean? Well, we talked about it last week. Sorry for those of you who weren't here last week. We talked about it last week that knowledge and wisdom and understanding come from the Spirit. It's about a connection with the Spirit. Now let me toss this out here for everybody, but particularly for our families and our parents. Hear me. Today I'm trying to teach. I'm trying to say things. This is almost like a wedding, right? I know that at a wedding, nobody came to hear me, and nobody hears what I said anyway. But I do try to say something so that when they play the tape and hear the video years down the road, there's something meaningful. That would be my point here as well. And so I'm trying to teach, but let me tell you the punchline. This stuff, this spiritual stuff, this knowledge of God stuff is way more caught than it is taught. It is way more caught than it is taught. What does that mean for me? It means I have to model a lifestyle. Perfection lifestyle? Absolutely not. It's a lifestyle of listening. It's a lifestyle of leaning. It's a lifestyle of not having an answer, which we did when she was a toddler. And I remember sitting in the floor, and we sat together, the three of us. She was a toddler. We prayed for the next meal. I wasn't 23 years old. I was in my mid-40s. We sat on the floor of an apartment that was above a three-car garage. We held hands and we prayed. This stuff is caught. This stuff is modeled. This stuff is day after day after day, good and bad and high and low. I learned the secret of contentment and the secret of faith. That is legacy, and that is what's handed down. Verse 11, it talks about being strengthened by his power. Anybody know what happened in Acts chapter 1 as Jesus is about to take off? He's about to be translated, and he stands before the crowd, and he says, "You will receive." What's he say? "You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you." Anybody catching Paul's theme here? Paul's theme is pretty clear, isn't it? This connection with the Holy Spirit for knowledge, for wisdom, for fruit, for power. It's about being open to that. It happens through connection to Christ. I said it a while ago. Our first banner is salvation. We go blue here to blue here. But more than salvation, the whole thing is about connection to Christ. That's the foundation of it all. Verse 12, it reads, "Giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." His prayer is answered. Paul's prayer is answered when we are givers. Thanks. Thanksgivers. We know how to celebrate it, don't we? Turkey, fryers. I got a pit barrel smoker. We know how to do it. But what we really need to be doing is on Thanksgiving, being thanksgivers. Thanksgivers in front of our children. Thanksgivers as a community of faith. Because there are certainly times I've walked through that back door ready to parent my son. No one else is here. Well, someone else was here. The dude in the red shirt over here, he was sitting back there with my boy. I came in to parent him. I was too late. Somebody else was already. And Arnick might say, "Man, I wasn't parenting J.O." Oh, yes, you were. You see, oftentimes we say, "Man, I'd like to be a, I hope I can be a good influence. Hope I can be an influence. And I sure hope I can be an influence." You don't have to pray that. You're going to be an influence. The question will be a good influence, a healthy influence, a negative influence. Like, what's that going to be? Recognizing that how Arnick handles his walk with God affects my son. Apparently, I made him mad. He's scared. He's scared of something right now. He's going to go parent his own son. All right. That's super important in a community of faith. I had one of the coolest things. It's the coolest pastor thing ever. This is the coolest pastor thing ever. Right, Emerly? I was at Fuquay Elementary this week on Friday, and there is a third grade student that I was hanging out with every week. I go see him for an hour every week. And we were sitting in this little corner, and I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I see this person like doing that. And it's Emerly. And my pastor heart exploded. So fun. I've had people notice me as their pastor and not wave. I've had them duck down aisle 4. We're influencers. This last thing, you're qualified to share in the kingdom of light. That's such a wonderful phrase. You're qualified to share. Throw that up there, Jeremy, would you please? I believe it's verse 12. You're qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints, the kingdom of light. Not because of your IQ or your status or your pedigree, because of the value we have simply because God says we do. Many times for our children, it was a phrase they heard over and over. They still hear it. We love you because you exist. Why do we love you? You exist. The offer for qualification in this kingdom of light is ours to receive, and it's ours to reject. Either way, all you have to do is say yes, just say thanks, right? Just let him qualify us. Years ago, Melinda and I were church planters, and I had this car that at about 52 miles an hour, the front wheels started to wobble as if they might just explode right off the car, right? And I'd get to that thing, and they just, this, that thing, you know? And so my pastor, a little bit bigger guy than I am, he came up there to New England to go and preach. And he said, Andy, I'd love for you to pick me up at the airport. So I'm like, sure, man. I'd love to pick you up at the airport. If I'd had a little extra money, I might have rented a car to not have to go through all the shame of what I was going to have to go through. But I didn't because we were church planters, so I hopped in my little car and picked him up, and I think I packed him in this little Escort, which I did say he's a little bit bigger than I am, first of all. And then at 52, it started to be like a washing machine, right, for him. And at one point, we had about an hour drive, and he's like, pull this thing over. Exit, get off this road. We're in Massachusetts somewhere, I don't even know, Western Mass. He's like, pull off the road. We're looking for a tire barn, anything, right? He pulls into this tire shop. He goes, you are getting four new tires. You know how I responded to it? Mad. Embarrassed. Possibly even angry if we've met. Right? I was just like aggravated by the whole thing. And I sat there. And the car's in the shop. And it's up in the air. And they're swapping the tires. And he's paying the bill. And he looked over at me. Gave me a beautiful lesson. He looked over at me and he said, hey, man. Why don't you just say thanks? Why don't you just learn to say thanks? Well, because I should and that. No. Ain't no should to it. Just say thanks. Thank you for your light, Jesus. Thank you for your gifts of mercy. Thank you for healthy babies. Thank you for families and community. Thank you for it. Just say thanks. You don't have to complicate it. You don't have to present it in any particular way. Just say thanks. It's a privilege to model for our children, not our perfection, but our redemption. Can I say it to you, please? I'd love for you to hear that statement. It is a privilege for us to model for our children. Every parent that brought your child here today, it is a privilege to model for our children, not our perfection, but to model our redemption. Sometimes we feel so ashamed of our choices. I just tell my kids, you can make the same stupid mistakes I did, but I don't want you to. I have scars I just don't care for you to have. I just don't want you to have them. I don't hide that. My ego, I got some ego, but it's not in the way there. It gets in my way sometimes, but not there. They can see my story wide open because it's a story, not of perfection, but a story of redemption. And that's what this whole community of faith can come around, these wonderful families, and share. We are a community, you know. We're folks in common unity. Arnett, come on up, Bob. You see, we were broken and we were lost in our own efforts. We've got that in common. The rescuer came to us. We've got that in common. We put our hope and our faith in his promise. We've got that in common. He's redeemed us with salvation and freedom and purpose. We've got that in common. And we are a community of faith that gives thanks. We're in common unity, this community of faith. So we're going to join in a common unity for another purpose today. And we're going to commit to the well-being and to the support of these six families and these seven children. I was reading a Secret Service, you know, CIA, you know, that kind of book that helps me not think about anything, right? I was reading this the other day, and the president and the president's daughter were out skiing in Colorado. And the president went one way, and the daughter and the, you know, and that team went another, and he was a really good skier, and she wasn't so good. So this guy, you know, he's with the daughter. And of course, the president gets attacked and taken, right? And the guy finds out, and the comms are broken up, and there's an avalanche and all that, right? So here's the deal. The takeaway on that story is this. The hero figure in this novel, if you want to call it that, the hero figure in this book, when he found out that they were in danger, when he found out that they were in danger, he said, close ranks. And the 8 Secret Service men built a wall around that teenage girl. That's what I'd like us to do today. I'd like to have our arms and hands open to give and love and share. And then I would like us to also know that as a community of faith and a congregation, when it comes to our sweet children and our families, we close ranks. We get close to them. We care. What I want to do is I'm going to ask our parents, if you will, we're all around the room, just a few minutes, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, we're going to pray blessing. Melinda and I are going to walk around. We're going to actually come to where you are because I know you're with family. And we're going to come to where you are and with your family and the folks around you, and we're going to pray. We have a gift for you, a book that's been very, very meaningful for Melinda and I in our parenting, and we hope it would be meaningful for you in your parenting journey. And the sweet boys and sweet girl got a beautiful little Bible for them. And it's just the cutest thing. Their little name is on it. It's just the cutest thing ever. I just keep opening them up and looking at them. I'm like, that is just so cute. And we're going to move around and pray with you. But first, what I'd like to do is I'd like us to make a commitment. And as you can, I'd like you to repeat the words and read them with me. They'll be on the screen. And I want the parents, if you will, in just a moment, to stand together. If you'd like to hold your children, that's great. But just stand together. Folks around you will be praying, supporting you, believing in you. And as you can, say those words. And what I would say is these aren't words that I picked up off the internet, Google search, baby dedication commitments. These are words that come from your pastor's heart. These are words that come deep from within my heart for you. And as you can speak them, I encourage you to. And then when that is done, we as a congregation will stand as well, if you would participate in that and you're willing to do that, to stand as well and speak those things. Now, what I know about declarations many times is I feel like I'm not qualified, but I think there was a verse in there that says, He has qualified us. Parents, if you would you stand? The words will be behind me on the screens. You'd stand with your sweet babies where you are. Got to see you a minute ago. There we go. So this beautiful dress is her third great-grandmother's christening dress. How cute. That's just whole new levels of cuteness. Kick, 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 kick. Hey, don't let that be lost on you. That got handed down, a dress, kept and cared for. It was a treasure. Special. There are other things in our families that get handed down and cared for. Legacy. Legacies of prayer and faith and hope. Parents, if you would, read with me. We'll read this together. Here we go. We surrender our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We desire to live and love and parent in such a way that Christ is formed in us. We will be open to receive the ministry of the Spirit, the care of the church, and the love and prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We desire to be faithful stewards of the gift God has given us. And as a community of faith and family and friends and congregation, if you're willing, would you stand? Stand with these parents, right with them. And I might say, typically, families would be in the front. Folks even opened up the front row knowing that that's typically the way it would go. But what I want it to be is the families within the congregation, the families right in the middle of it. So as a community, would you read and make these commitments with me? We value you and thank God for your family. We commit to walk with your family, and in that journey, we commit to love you, pray for you, give to you, honor you, and support you. We desire to be a safe place for you so that when we gather, the Spirit of the Lord is among us. We commit to be aware of you and the needs of your family. We commit to serve you well and help you walk out the will of God for your lives. Amen. You can be seated. Arnick is going to sing a little bit. We're going to walk around, Melinda and I. And when we move around, Deli's even going to come up here and help us pray and guide. This place has been a prayer room all morning, and it remains one right now. You'll be able to sing. You'll be able to direct prayers, and Deli will help us with that. I know that everyone doesn't know all the families, so he'll help us with that space. And we'll just work our way through today. Arnick is going to sing a song that I don't know if there'd be a better song. The Lord bless you, keep you, right? Make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, the blessing. So you're welcome to pray with us as we move around. You're welcome to sing. We want this to be a prayer room here for the next few minutes.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Extend our hands to the Dunham family. God, as they strive to know you, strive to be imperfect before you, be covered with grace and mercy, guiding their steps, Lord. Know your presence be around them, be sealed by them. Step with you, Jesus, every single day of their lives, every single night as they lay their child down. We give it. Let it all be so, Lord. Amen. Amen. God, for the Elkins, God, to protect. Extending your hands out to them, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Let them feel your presence, Lord. Let it permeate through their lives. Let it permeate and strengthen, God, for support and guidance. God, it's a privilege for us to be here, a privilege for us to be dedicating a gift, their gift, Lord, for Liam. Grow in strength and guidance and power in your spirit, Lord. Give it all to you. We give you this life. We give you this life. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. that all those fears and worries melt away every single day to know that you are holding Luke. You are holding Luke.
Birth of a child, Christ who's come to save us. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful, let triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye to Bethlehem. Come on, sing it out. The Lord.